In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Oh, it's so great to be here with you today, and a couple of special things today. First of all, I am broadcasting live today from the studios of Modern Day E Radio in my town of Portland, Oregon. So if you're watching on YouTube or on Facebook, you can see the background. I'm actually in the radio studio right now, in the main studio. That's where I'm doing the show from today. That's the first wonderful surprise. In fact, this is where I got my start. Actually, and radio was right here at Modern Day E Radio. So it's wonderful to be back now doing Beacon of Truth from here. And the second kind of wonderful surprise is that today we have a special guest, very good friend of mine. We've known each other for years, Rolando Moreno, who just became the executive director of Modern Day E Radio. So he's going to be my very special guest today on the show. And of course, we're going to be talking about adult faith formation. For years, Rolando was doing work in adult faith formation and catechesis. In fact, he's getting his doctorate right now from Franciscan University of Steubenville, Doctor of Ministry in Catechesis and Evangelization. We'll talk all about that. And because we have a live guest on today, we're going to do something different today. We're going to go and do the Soulful Psalms in this part of the show. Just kind of change things up a bit. So we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. My friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And of course, when we pray the divine office or the Liturgy of the Hours, and we take that Psalm and we connect it to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're going to take a look at looking at Psalm 3, right? It's for almost 2 years we've been doing this show, and we're finally getting around to one of the Psalms in the very beginning of the Book of Psalms, Psalm 3. And of course, all the Psalms in the first book, Psalms 1 through 41, are written by David. And the prescript or superscript of the Psalm is the entire first verse. It says, a psalm of David as he is fleeing from his son Absalom. So you remember that after the persecution with Saul, David, and Saul dies, David becomes the king of Israel. He unites the kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. All the 12 tribes are united again under David. And toward the end of David's reign, his son Absalom decides to try to take power. And so he kills all of the sons of David, of course, except for Solomon, and hashes a plot to take over the kingship from his father. His father finds out about it. His father flees. He loves his son Absalom, doesn't want to see anything happen to him. And so he, instead of fighting his son, he runs. Right. He flees from his son Absalom. And so he wrote this psalm during that time. And just imagine, you know, even before we dive into the last couple of verses of the psalm, we're going to dive in at right around verse 7. Imagine having to flee from your child or flee from someone that you love. Right now, you may be estranged from someone that you love, you know, whether it be a parent, whether it be a child. Maybe that child is making a lifestyle choice decision that you don't agree with. They're angry with you because you won't support their certain decisions that they're making about how they're living their life or how they're practicing their faith. And so what do? You take it on the chin because that's your child, right? You don't acquiesce and give in you know, and say, well, forget what the church teaches. I'm just going to, do what my child. No. Jesus talks about this. Remember, he says, just a couple of weeks ago, we heard the gospel. You think I came to bring peace? I came to bring the sword. Mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, that whole thing. Why? Because Jesus Christ, who is truth himself, the truth divides even families. And so as painful as it may be, we have to stand for the truth. And so David is going through all of this angst and anxiety over his son Absalom. And so he writes this psalm, which is not a very long psalm, but let's dive in here now. And so he started off this psalm, "How many are my foes, O Lord? How many are rising up against me? How many are saying about me, there is no help for him in God?" Right? So it's almost... this is probably not exegetically correct, like with the language of the text, but as a father, I'm thinking, look more at the fatherly approach to what David is writing here. You know, people are probably saying, man, that guy can't even get control of his own house. His own son is turned against him. What kind of father was he that his own son is turning against him and trying to kill him and trying to take power from his father? You know, and so the people are talking about it behind his back, probably. And David probably realizes that he's probably embarrassed over that situation. You know, here is the greatest king in the history of Israel, the great warrior king, and his son is trying to kill him. You know, that's where it gets real right there. Right. But we're going to pick up here at verse 7. So David, again, calling on the confidence of the Lord, "I will not fear even thousands of people who are ranged on every side against me." You know, so again, even though my son, it doesn't matter who, whether it's my son, whether it's the Philistines, whether it's the Amalekites, you know, I'm not going to fear whatever comes my way because you are fighting with me. He remembers what happened with Goliath. He called on the name of the Lord. He remembers that God fights with him and for him, that he is not alone in the fray. He is not alone in the battle. And so he concludes, "Arise, Lord, save me, my God, you who strike all my foes on the cheek." I just love that. "Arise, Lord, save me." He's just crying out to the Lord with confidence and trust. "Be with me, Lord. I know you're with me. I know I'm not in this alone. Who strike all my foes on the cheek." Why? God is the one who's going to seek retribution. God is a God of justice. Don't worry about revenge, right? So we talk about, for example, the death penalty, retributive justice, as opposed to revenge. Very different mindsets, very different understandings there, right? God is the one who's going to exact justice. "You, Lord, are the one who strike all my foes on the cheek. You who break the teeth of the wicked." Right. So he's talking about striking the cheek, striking the teeth, again, striking against the foes that are maligning him, that are verbally abusing him, that are mocking him and ridiculing him, that are even making, well, not necessarily his son, but the other pagan tribes who, when they attack David, are mocking the God of David as well. You know, so strike those, you know, let them stop saying what they're saying. You know, you exact justice, Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord, right? So David says, out of this situation, I'm not going to save myself. If I go into battle and I fight, I'm not doing it on my own accord. I'm not saying I'm going to win this battle. No, the Lord is going to win this battle because I am fighting with and for the Lord. You know, so we have to remember that too, that when we're fighting against something, whether we're getting attacked by the culture, you know, whether that's happening at work, we're getting pressure at our employer to, use certain symbols or use certain language that doesn't comport with the truth of who we are and our dignity as a human person, which, you know, basically they're asking us to lie about what it means to be human, about what gender is and all that kind of stuff. You know, we have to remember that we have to stand up because our salvation comes from the Lord. Again, some people will acquiesce, some people will give in, but there's certain, at some point we have to stand up. What if you're a Muslim? Would they push you if you're a Muslim or you were Buddhist? You know, it's the Christians who are the one to persecute. Why? Because we worship the real God, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, the God who came and was incarnate in the womb of Virgin Mary and died on the cross for us. That's the God that we serve, and that's the God who brings salvation, right? So David emphasizes that salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. So he starts off, how many are my foes, O Lord? How many are fighting against me? So he starts off in this kind of stressful situation. Lord, right, my own son is persecuting me. He doesn't use his son's name, right? He's speaking in general terms here, but the prescript tells us that he wrote this psalm as he is fleeing from his son Absalom. You know, so even when things are difficult, even we have to learn how to trust the Lord. Let us call upon the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. All right. We're talking with Rolando Moreno today, the executive director of Modern Day E-Radio. Would love to hear from you. We're talking about adult faith formation today on the show. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's a new one today.
What? I got you.
Thanks. You're getting all punchy up in here, boy.
This is what happens when I take a couple of days off. I get a chance to catch my breath. Creative juices are flowing.
All right. That is awesome, man. You know, again, very simple, but this is the thing a track like this. Very simple, but it makes you feel something.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, you want the music to make you, you want to feel it.
That's right.
You know, which is awesome. That's absolutely awesome.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm Deacon Harold Brooks-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Rolando Moreno, who is the new executive director of Modern Day E-Radio. Modern Day is where I got my start in Catholic radio. That would have been back in 2003, 2004, long time ago. But it's great. I'm broadcasting now from the station of Modern Day Radio here in Portland, Oregon. And I would love for you to call us today. We're talking with Rolando about adult faith formation. That's our topic. So if you have any questions about the adult faith formation, maybe you're OCIA, maybe you're thinking about coming into the church, you have questions about what happens after OCIA, because sadly, the statistics show that half of the people who come into the church through OCIA leave after 5 years. Well, why is that? We're going to talk all about that today with Rolando Moreno on Beacon of Truth. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, if you're always looking for ways to listen to EWTN radio and our programs, TuneIn might be a place that you're already hanging out, and a chance for you to just search EWTN to find podcasts, live shows, anything and everything that you're looking for throughout the day to improve your faith and find out more ways to get deeper and closer to God. So while you're on TuneIn today, search EWTN radio.
All right, my friends, it is now my great pleasure to introduce to you my good friend, Rolando Moreno, who is now the executive director of Modern Day E-Radio, EWTN affiliate right here in my town of Portland, Oregon, where I am broadcasting from their studios right now. And he was the executive director at the Chesterton Academy of Willamette Valley. So he brings expertise in faith formation and theological studies. He's just got a great background. He was an adjunct professor of theology at Mount Angel Seminary. And I know that because he had me come and guest lecture in his class a couple of times. He's also worked for the director of catechesis and faith formation for the Archdiocese of Portland here in Oregon. And many other accomplishments as well as a master's degree in theological studies from the Pontifical John Paul II Institute for Studies of Marriage and Family in Washington, D.C., and a bachelor's degree from Franciscan University of Steubenville. So, Rolando, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, it's a great honor to have to be on your show and to have you here live in studio at Modern Day Radio. It's just what an exciting time. Just getting started here, and great to have my good friend Deacon Harold here with us today and being able to be on your show, Beacon of Truth. So thank you.
All right. So yeah. Oh, you're most welcome. So glad to have you. And so let's start with, because this is the first time you're on the show, and a lot of people listening, because this is a broadcast like all over the world, they might not be familiar with who you are.
you obviously have a tremendous background, right? But they're not familiar with you and your Catholic faith. So let's just get a little bit of a background on who is Rolando Moreno.
That's a great question. Well, in all humility, I would hope I can say that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, that I'm striving to be somebody who is truly following the Lord. That's my goal. That's what I'm hoping to do. So with all humility, I would say I'm a disciple. But no, I'm originally from Michigan, from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and my wife Angela is from Oregon, and we met at Franciscan University and at their study abroad program. And so how did I get to Oregon? Well, I married this wonderful woman who's from here, and here I am. And then I've been in ministry for 20 years. I came out here in 2005 and worked in parish catechesis and faith formation for almost 10 years and Catholic education. I was involved with starting a school called Chesterton Academy, as you mentioned, and then just then the last couple of years served as their executive director, and now I find myself doing evangelization through the radio, helping to continue the great work that our station has been involved in for 35 years. So the Lord has brought me on a great sort of adventure my whole life. I had a real powerful transformational encounter with Jesus in 1995, right out of high school. Just changed my life, changed the course and trajectory of my life. And from there, I wanted to study theology. And then after a few years went by, it's like, I just want to study the Lord. And then from there, I want to serve in ministry. And so that's what he has blessed me with the years and the experience to do over the last 20 years. And so I'm just honored to be somebody who's trying to fight the good fight, especially here where we're located in the far west, as they say, and trying to be a light as well in those areas that the Lord has put me in.
Well, it's interesting the parallels that both of us have, right? So you're from the Midwest, from Michigan. I'm from Jersey, right? So we're both not from Oregon. We both married women who are from Oregon and moved here because of marriage. So we got that in common. We both studied theology formally at the graduate level. You know, you at the John Paul II Institute there in Washington, D.C., me at the University of Dallas. We're both involved in, catechesis and evangelization, obviously in two very different ways, but but still we have that connection. And you, God willing, next month you'll be ordained a deacon.
I will. Yeah, that's another huge moment in my life. It's really the fruit of 20 years of ministry. I think as all those years you go by, you discern and you're praying. And it just came to my heart, a long time ago. I've been in formation for 3 years. And 3 years ago when I started the process, it seemed like the right time with my family, with my wife, getting, her blessing, so to speak, and her support to discern that formally. And the process has been tremendous. I feel that's really continued to boost my prayer life even more, and just kind of, especially just like the scriptures and really soaking myself into the scripture even more, because we're ministers of the word. And so, I'm preparing for diaconate ordination on October 25th for the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. And just again, another great honor. And I come forward with all humility with that too, because it is really a entering into the servant mysteries of Christ and living out that vocation. I've been blessed to see a number of good deacons like yourself and another close friend of mine. Deacon James Thurman.
He's been on the show too. Yeah, I love him, man. Great man of God.
You guys have just been witnesses to me, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I think so far so good. And just about a month from now.
Wow, that is awesome. And I am so bummed because I'm going to be out of the country. So I can't, there's no way I'm going to be able to go. I drop everything and be there for you,
on that amazing day.
Yeah. And we'll be able to get together afterward too and celebrate that for sure. And with James and maybe the three, that'd be awesome. Yeah, the three of us get together. Celebrate ordination and the importance of the wife in all of this. I was young. I just turned 36 when I was ordained a deacon. You're relatively young too. You're older than I was when I was ordained, but still you still have kids, at young kids at home. And I've known you for a long time. I've met Angela a number of times, your wife. She's amazing. And you have to have someone like that if you're going to exercise diaconal ministry well. A wife that just like, oh, I'll just cave in because that's what he wants. Nah. Colleen was, I'm sensing Colleen's like Angela. Colleen was like, if this ain't working, you ain't doing it. If I'm not on board, she's like, Colleen, don't hold back, you know, but she's been tremendously supportive. And I'm sure Angela's been the exact same way for you.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't be in the process without her saying yes to it as well. And actually feeling the Lord's calling for me in that regard, praying and discerning as well. It took her, obviously, she's an important part of the process of discernment for those in the diaconate. And so I was sort of surprised that she was ready for it when I brought it back up, you know, three and a half years ago. And it was, she really is the supportive all the way through. And I'm just very blessed to have her as my wife and her support in this next phase of our ministry together, really, in a sense, right? Because she she'll be there as my support, and also we've been working together in the church for 20 years as well, right? So she's been a part of a lot of ministry that I've been a part of, and I'm just very blessed.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have amazing women in our lives, that's for sure. That's for sure. So, so our what we're going to be talking about today is spending a lot more time in the next part of the show talking about adult faith formation. You know, some of the good things that are happening, some of the challenges, and some of the opportunities for adult faith formation. And so you've been involved in that for a long time. And now you're pursuing a doctorate, which I want to do that same program. We were talking about this before the show. Yeah. That I just have to find the time to do it. But that is a big priority for me to get that. I would love to do that. I already have a topic that I want to study. You know, I already have it in my mind. What I want to do is just have to formally just be able to do it. But you're doing that program right now. And so what are your hopes with that program? What are you hoping to accomplish through that? Because it's a lot of work. I saw the requirements. It's extensive.
It is extensive. You know, I think it's I sort of got bit by the further study bug, in graduate school and master's theology, but I was kind of in school for quite some time and thought, well, let's get into some ministry and work. So I've always had a desire to go back to study deeper into theology. And so this, I'm not even sure if it's the most opportune moment in time, but it seemed like it was. Then this new program at Franciscan University opened up, a Doctor of Ministry program, which works with people in the field who, it's a 3 to 5 year program, kind of works on around our schedule in the sense of, you're taking class in the fall and the spring, but it's, you work at your own pace to a certain extent. And it just seemed like the right program, but I love the emphasis. It was specifically a Doctor of Ministry in Evangelization and Catechesis. Yes. And that was just like, that's a completion of for me personally, like some work that I've been, the work that I've been doing, and just an area that I've been blessed to be a part of, and the Lord has put me in that area of his vineyard. So I the program was just, it just really spoke to me. In fact, I found it because I was looking at courses for my son, who's a freshman there this semester, and found that program was going to open up and applied, and lo and behold, and everything seems to be coming together at once. You have a kind of new job and then the diaconate ordination, now back to studies quite a bit, but that's all for the service of the Lord. So I hope to put the program to the service of the Lord.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to dive into this next topic. We're talking with Rolando Moreno, the executive director of Modern Day Radio, about adult faith formation. We'd love to have your questions today. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
This is what makes you grow your mullet back.
I think that ship has sailed, brother. But even if I had hair, the fro is not a mullet, man. You cannot mullet a fro.
It's true.
you know. So
it's all right.
Are you a musician, Rolando?
No, I wish I was.
Okay.
Love music.
It's never too late, man. Come on, join the bagging.
Yeah. You're right. I should try. Bring guitars.
Well, hey, Ace, check this out. Colleen told me the other day during our date night that she wants to learn how to play drums.
Rock on.
I'm like, what?
I love it.
This has never come up, ever. And all of a sudden she hit me with, I want to learn how to play drums. I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's great. I mean, I'm 100% supportive, but I mean, she plays her flute and at mass, and that was really the only instrument that she, you know, was playing. But now drums, I said, yeah, let's go for it. And we got a little drum set actually. So a little starter drum kit. It's in the garage right now, covered up. But yeah, they get out and knock the dust off and get her going.
I love every second of that.
Oh, that's fun. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today I have the great honor and privilege of having one of my very best friends on the show, who is also now the brand new executive director of Modern Day E-Radio right here in Portland, Oregon. That's where I'm broadcasting from today, from the studios of Modern Day E-Radio in Portland. And so it's so great to have Rolando live here on the show today. And he's an expert in adult faith formation. He has his undergraduate degree from Franciscan University Stuvalo, his master's degree from the John Paul Institute for Marriage and Family Life in Washington, D.C. He's pursuing a doctoral degree now at Franciscan University of Steubenville on evangelization and catechesis. So, and today we're talking about adult faith formation, really important topic, especially now we're starting the OCIA season now. And so we're going to talk about some of the some good things that are happening now, some of the challenges that are happening, and what the opportunities are for adult faith formation. So if you want to share your experience, maybe you just came into the church last year. You said, yeah, I went through the course, but I wish they would have done this. I wish they would have said, share your experience with us. Or if you're in the classes now, or if you teach the classes, and you just want to know more how to make an impact of the lives of the people who are coming into the church, because the last thing you want them to do is to leave, because they don't feel connected to Jesus. They don't feel connected to their faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today. Ask any question you'd like to Rolando Moreno, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to say congratulations, celebrating 17 years, New Jersey, with Domestic Church Media. They, of course, have been a part of the EWTN radio family and are continuing strong because of your support. So thank you if you're listening in those areas. Trenton, also Cape May, Freehold, and of course, Jim and Cheryl are helping to spearhead that amazing team. So Domestic Church Media, 17 years with EWTN. Congrats from all of us.
All right. Jersey in the house. All right.
That's right.
But the places you talk, Trenton, Cape May, Freehold, that's all on the other side. That's like on the western side of Jersey, in the south, like Philly area, that area, not where I was from Newark, Jersey City, Union, Elizabeth, that Northeast Corridor area there. So, still, congratulations, Catholic Radio of Jersey. That's right. Keep it going. All right. We're talking with Rolando Moreno today, the executive director at Modern Day E-Radio, and also an expert in adult faith formation. So we're any question you have about adult faith formation, whether you're an OCIA, whether you're teaching the classes now, and you want to make sure the people in those classes who are coming into the church are connecting deeply with their faith and love of Jesus Christ, and you just want some advice on how you could do that better. If you went through the OCIA process last year and came into the church, share your experience with us. Talk about some of the great things that happened, some of the things you wish would have happened, some of the challenges. We're also going to look at the opportunities for adult faith formation as well. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jeannie's calling from Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 130. Jeannie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Hey, great to talk to you. So glad you're here.
Thank you. My question has to do with, I'm a Catholic. I was Catholic all my life. I went away from the church a little bit, trying to work my way back. And by doing so, I've been listening to Catholic radio and, you know, renewing my dedication to the Blessed Virgin and so on and so on. And my question has to do, I'm confused. I'm struggling with this whole Charlie Kirk situation. I never heard of Charlie Kirk until he was assassinated, which I think is horrible, horrible. But I went back and looked at some of his speeches and some of the things he said, and there are certain segments of the population that he seems to not respect as much as I thought we were taught to respect, the love thy neighbor and there is no judge on earth. And I'm struggling with some of the things he said about our African-American population. Can you help me?
Yeah, sure. So, Rolanda, are you familiar with Charlie Kirk and some of his talks and speeches and things?
Well, I'm familiar with him, yeah, as a somebody who's, I think, is sincere in his pursuit for looking for truth and especially in the area of the social area and things. Yeah, I mean, what appears to be somebody who's a really good man in many respects. I'm not familiar with some of the things he's said that you're bringing up per se, but I think you know, he's somebody who is seems sincere and for all you know, intents and purposes was a good man. You know, in that atmosphere, there's always a challenge too, because it's not per se, you know, on the theological grounds that we know him from. Although I believe he is a strong Christian faith. And so, yeah, I'm not familiar though with some of the things that you're bringing up in particular with what he may have said.
Yeah. So like I said, I don't watch television. I'm not on social media. I'm rarely on social media. And so what I've heard from him, the things that people have sent me, just, oh, check this guy out. Deacon Harold, like Trent Horn and some other people have kind of turned me on to him. And so I heard some of the things and because he basically engages in debate, right? People ask questions, even very difficult and challenging questions, and he responds to that. And so I heard him, some of the things he says about the African-American community and economics and family. And he's right, actually. I wrote a book called Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism, where I bring up and I challenge the Black community to not be victims and to work together as a community to return to ourselves. You know, when we were brought over forcefully as slaves to this country, one of the things that held us together was our deep faith. What has happened, we have acquiesced and we have given into the culture. You know, we've lost ourselves as a people. So in my book, I challenge us, let's return to who we are. You know, we were people of God. We had such a deep and rich faith. Let's return to that again. You know, so many Black young men are incarcerated. And again, I was in law enforcement for 23 years. So if you look at that, why they're in there, there's no fathers in the home. And he was just challenging them to, let's build strong families. Let's not be victims. When violent, what about the violence that's happening? Let's hold on. Let's not give in to culture. Let's come back to ourselves. So he was challenging people to live gospel values and not cave into the culture. So many of the things he said about the African community were correct. Some people criticized him because he was very direct and honest. They didn't like that because they're woke or they're confused and they want to live in that confusion. He didn't do that. You know, I'm not defending like every white, because I have not heard everything extensively that he said, but from what I heard, I would agree with some of the things that he was saying. And just given the fact, and I talk about this in my book, the fact that he's not Black. Well, what right do you have to talk about, you know, being a Black because we are not? That's ridiculous. That's like a priest saying to a priest, well, you can't talk about marriage because you're not married. That's ridiculous. You know, yeah, like I said, I have not heard everything that he said because, again, I'm not on social media a whole lot. I don't imbibe a lot of that stuff. But from what I heard, I thought he was very respectful in challenging some of the things that were brought to him by Black students. From what I saw, these were college clips that people sent me were college students. And I thought he was very respectful in engaging them and challenging them to be who God created us to be. So that's how I would answer that. Thank you for your wonderful call, Jeannie. We're talking with Rolando Moreno today about adult faith formation. Rolando is the executive director of Modern Day E-Radio, but has an extensive background in adult faith formation. And we're talking today about the challenges and the what's going well right now. What are some of the challenges and the opportunities of adult faith formation moving forward? If you are teaching OCIA right now and you just want a little bit of help on how you can keep those in your class connected deeply to their faith in Jesus so they don't leave, you know, once they become Catholic. If you went through the process of OCIA and you're like, there's a couple of things I wish they would have emphasized more, share your experience with us. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Marie is a first-time caller calling from Michigan, Rolando's home state, listening on Sirius XM 130. Maria, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi.
Hello. So great to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I've never called before, but I was really intrigued about your topic, and I wanted to ask about spiritual directors. I have recently been trying to learn more about the faith, and people refer to their spiritual director. And I'm wondering what it is and if I should be seeking a spiritual director.
That's a great question. I think, you know, as we progress in our life of faith and the Lord leads us deeper down the path of greater, you know, adherence and a greater love for him. And as we continue to grow, there comes a point, I think, where a lot of us feel there's a need for spiritual direction. And really, I think one way of looking at spiritual direction is, you know, the Lord sent out his disciples two by two. In a sense, iron sharpens iron, and that disciple, or like just going forward, is always good to have a companion. So I would see in one sense the idea of spiritual direction is spiritual companionship, that, you know, Jesus accompanies us on the road throughout our whole life. And then he sends us witnesses, right? And so as we're progressing, I think, in the life of the Spirit, we may, especially if there's points of major discernment where it, you know, might be great to have that companion and a spiritual director who can look at our lives, who can pray with us, who can know those struggles and in our prayer life and in our life of faith to, you know, to help us to grow, to challenge us, to listen to us, and to offer some, you know, spiritual counsel to us. That I think, you know, they're praying for us. They're in tune with the Holy Spirit. They challenge us. And I think it's good if you know, if we can find and have a spiritual director, I think it's absolutely a great thing. And in one sense, necessary. I mean, it's if everyone could have a spiritual director, I think it'd be ideal. I mean, I think it's probably a challenge in regard of just the availability of people. And then having somebody who's trained in that as well is very important. Oftentimes priests are, I mean, they're so busy. Some of them have had training, and just, you know, I think if you feel that that's something that's, you know, really important for your life at this point, to maybe talk to a trusted priest or some that, you know, maybe they can, and it doesn't have to be something that's every week. It can be like once a month. It could be, you know, sort of maybe once every couple of months where you meet with somebody. It's a longer time of conversation and prayer and sharing your life of faith with them, and they're discerning with you. I think it's just a great opportunity for growth and for deepening our understanding.
Yeah, that's excellent. And, you know, we, at least in our archdiocese, we deacons are required to have spiritual directors. And I've had some wonderful priests in 23 years ordained as spiritual directors. My last spiritual director just recently passed away, Father Brian Milady. So I'm actually looking for a new spiritual director now. So your call, Marie, is quite apropos for my situation as well. But yeah, I found spiritual direction to be, you know, a great way to balance, you know, because especially what I'm doing, I'm traveling and I'm speaking and I'm doing all these things and trying to manage my family, trying to do that by yourself. Look, even Jesus needed help carrying the cross. So to have someone who is grounded spiritually, who knows you, who's rooted, who can help you think through and work through certain things that are going on in your life so you can find that right balance and perspective in your life, I think is extremely important. I think Rolando's comments and suggestions were very, very good, were excellent. And so I hope that helps you, Marie. Thank you so much for first-time caller. Please call us again. We'd love for you to call and ask another question. We're talking with Rolando Moreno today about adult faith formation. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. Rolando is the executive director of Modern Day E-Radio, where I'm broadcasting live from today in our studios here in Portland, Oregon. And we're talking about adult faith formation. So if you are teaching OCIA or adult faith formation, if you are part of a class, OCIA class, you came into the church, you want to share your experience with us. If you just want to find out more, maybe you're not Catholic. It's like, oh, what do I have to do to find out more about the faith? I'm not necessarily don't want to join the faith, but I want to find out more about what the Catholic faith actually teaches. Well, we have an expert with us today, Rolando Moreno. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mark is also calling from Michigan. Rolando, you're bringing him in from your home state today, my friend. He's listening on Good Shepherd Catholic Radio. Mark, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you for taking my call, Rolando and Deacon Harold. I have taught adult faith formation for maybe 10 years. Mm-hmm. We pitched it to the parents of the kids who are not in Catholic school who have an adult faith formation program on Sunday mornings with the idea that they could go to a faith formation class while their kids were in a class and then all go to Mass together.
We announced that at Mass.
But parents didn't come. They drop their kids off and go shopping, or they don't take their kids to Mass. I mean, it was like we had instead a group of older folks, you know, who loved the class. I mean, we did Brant Petrie's Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. We did Mike Schmidt's Catechism. We've done History of the Church with, I can't remember his name, but anyway, lots of really great stuff. But for some reason, the parents aren't coming. We had one or two over those 10 years, and the people who came loved it. But for some reason, why aren't these other folks? It seems like, you know, there's more of a need for evangelization than there is for formation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, your problem's not the challenge you bring up is not uncommon. You know, trying to get a certain segment of our families and parents to attend a formation that's for them. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, it's really first about the kerygma and the evangelization piece. And we have to wonder, how many people have really encountered Jesus Christ, you know, through having been evangelized. Like, catechesis is built on the heels of evangelization, so to speak. In other words, we must first come to know Christ, and then from there we can learn about the depth and beauty of the faith in the church's teaching. So. Yeah, I think however we can draw them in, I mean, I think we have to get creative, ask for the Holy Spirit to really give us inspiration on what to do. I think it's a challenge for everywhere we go. Even in our own parish, sometimes just getting the parents of maybe at the school or what have you who may not know the faith so well, or just to draw them forth. But at the same time, I think if you can provide opportunities where evangelization is taking place, like those fundamental questions or the basics of the saving message of the gospel, really starting there. And really even our catechesis can take on a sort of an evangelistic tone in the sense that it's leading people deeper into the life of faith. I think just continuing to be creative. I mean, maybe that's a special evening with a topic that's maybe apropos that might be very interesting as the first hook to draw parents in. It may not be on the kerygma. It may be on something that, you know, parents or adults are, you know, might be dealing with, or they may have questions about their kids on social media or something like that, or in the challenges of that. And it's like, well, that sounds like an interesting talk. But from there, you can build on that. And well, our next thing is, you know, another series or another opportunity for formation and to be evangelized, and then maybe even providing like just a simple reflection, an evening of reflection with the blessed, you know, with Eucharistic adoration, inviting parents, and maybe there's a little social afterwards that's somewhat enticing. Maybe we have to break out the wine and cheese a little bit and draw them in. But the Lord used food for his ministry, and do what we have to do, I think, to be creative. But I think by invitation too, and then maybe even challenging those people that have come to all of your other series and talks that, you know, so sometimes all the same old people will invite someone new this time. Like, we have to be able to extend the net of Christ outwards towards others, and making that, you know, something that's a priority. So challenging us, you know, have we invited anybody to Mass? Have we invited anybody to this new series? Have we really invited our neighbor to come and see?
Yeah, Mark, you bring up one of the things that's been a perennial problem for parishes for a long time. You know, the kids are going through catechesis. Parents drop them off. I'm not blaming parents. You got to think of the mentality here. They're around these kids all the time. They see this as a break. Okay, mm-hmm. I get a little break here. That's, you know, just from a sanity standpoint. Okay, I get a little break from the kids here. But the other thing with that is that they think these classes are for the kids. They're not for me. They're for our children. And the reason part of it is because the parents aren't catechized themselves. You can't give what you don't have yourself. Like, if Rolando said, "Deacon, can I borrow 10 bucks?" And I go into my wallet, which is basically always empty, I can't give him what I don't have myself. So the parents have been outsourcing their responsibility of teaching the faith to Catholic schools, to youth group, to confirmation class, and while they go off and do something else. And so one of the solutions that I've seen, because I'm in a different parish somewhere in the United States or even somewhere in the world every week, is family catechesis. Very much what Rolando just said. So they have a class for the kids. They have a parallel class for the adults. Well, how do you get the adults there? You got to feed them. Wine, cheese, snacks, is something to bring. And give them a topic. You know, kids and the internet. Or, you know, why should I go to church? Like, wait, whoa, hold on. That, you know, and so it's parallel. So they're there at the same time as the child. So instead of going off and doing something else, they're there in another part of the parish going through their own class. So they're learning at the same time that their children are, but they're doing it in an adult way. There's food there. There's interesting, engaging, material. From what you're telling me, the material is fantastic that you're using, but they don't feel engaged. Because if you try to have them with the kids, they think, well, this is just, why am I here with my kid in this class? No, they need to have something separate just for them. And then come together, like Rolando said, maybe after both classes, just for a few minutes of, you know, little snacks, little thing, come together, talk a little bit about what you both learned, and then you go home. That creates an environment where you have something to talk about now in the car, on the way to church, at home. We are not just dropping off for class or for soccer or volleyball. You're actually engaging them in the faith as you're both learning together. So what Rolando said in my little two cents, Mark, I think that's very helpful. We're talking with Rolando Moreno today about adult faith formation. Let's go to James calling from West Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. James, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon, for taking my call. We did an adult education seminar, and it was pretty well attended. We'd announced the topics in the bulletin, and the most favorite topics, or the one that had the most attendance, was annulment of marriage and charismatic evangelization. Those were, and we had a priest do the annulment topic, and very well attended. People were very interested, lots of questions and lots of comments.
That's awesome. I think that topic in particular, right? That's going to spark some interest, yes, from a lot of people. There's a lot of questions surrounding what that is, what it isn't, what does the church mean by that? I think that's a great way to kind of engage the parish, even if you were starting, you know, your adult faith formation for the first time, for instance. That topic is going to draw people's interest. And that's the way we need to think in terms of having people come to the parish for evangelization, for formation. Think about the things that are practical that's happening in their lives today that they have real questions about, that, you know, these are like the topics that people really want to discuss, or they're talking about it when they're not at church, or there's some way it resonates with their experience. You probably could do a number of things. I mean, a divorce would be, you know, talking about clarifying what the church teaches about that. And I just think those topics there that draws them in is really important.
Yeah. Exorcisms would be another one. Or, you know, same-sex attraction, something like that really gets their attention. Because the goal is, how do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? and get them to come back week after week because they're interested in what's being spoken about. Rolando, thank you so much, my friend, for being part of the program. It's so great to have you on.
Oh, I really appreciate it. It's a real honor to be here today. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. He's the executive director of Modern Day E-Radio, EWT affiliate here in my hometown of Portland, Oregon. Now, tomorrow is Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, my friends, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.